Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Reading from Chapter 2, Contents of the Gita Summarized, Text Number 42 and 43. Chapter 2, Text 42. The numbers are on the inside of the pages here. At the top of the page in the middle, it's got the numbers. Chapter 2, to Contents of the Gita Summarized. The first word is Yam. Everybody got the page? What page number is it? You're on different pages, you two. 106? He's got a different page. Are you on the right verse? He has a different page. Page 106? No, every day we do with the next verse. Okay, you're on the same page now? Please repeat. Yam imam pushpitam vacham. Yam imam pushpitam vacham. Pravadantya. Vipaschita Pravadantya Vipaschita Vedavada Rita Parta. It's a bit lower. How can I get my voice a bit higher? Vedavada Rita Parta. Nanyat asti tivadina. Nanyat asti tivadina. Should we do them both? Both of them all through? Kamatmana svarga para. Kamatmana svarga para. Janma karma. Phala pradam. Janma karma phala pradam. Kriya vishesha bahulam. Kriya vishesha bahulam. Bhogaishvarya gatim prati. Bhogaishvarya gatim prati. Yam imam pushpitam vacham. Pravadantya vipaschita. Vedavadarata parta. Nanyat asti tivadina. Karmatmana svarga para. Janma karma phala pradam. Kriya vishesha bahulam. Bhogaishvarya gatim prati. Yam imam pushpitam vacham. Pravidancha vipaschita. Vedavadarata parta. Nanyat asti tivadina. Kamatmana svarga para. Janma karma phala pradam. Kriya vishesha bahulam. Bhogaishvarya Gatim Prati. Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadancha vedavadarata partha nanyat asti tivardina kamatmana svagapara janma karma phalapradam Kriya Vishesha Bahulam Bhogaishvaryam Gatim Priti Yam Imam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadancha Vipaschita Vedavadarata Partha Nanyadastiti Vardhana Kamatmana swakapara Janma karma phalapradam Kriya vishesha bahulam Bhogaishvarya gatim priti Yam imam All these Pushpitam Flowery Vacham Words, Pravadanti, say, avipaschita, men with a poor fund of knowledge, Vedavadarata, supposed followers of the Vedas, Partha, O son of Prita, na, never, anyat, anything else, asti, there is, iti, thus, vadina, the advocates, kama atmana, desirous of sense gratification, svargapara, aiming to achieve heavenly planets. Janma karma phalapradam, resulting in good birth and other fruitive reactions. Kriya vishesha, pompous ceremonies. Bahulam, various. Boga, in sense enjoyment, Aishwarya and opulence, Gatim, progress, Prati, towards. Translation: men of small knowledge are very much attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. Please repeat. Men of small knowledge are very much attracted to the flowery words attached. Oh, sorry. Are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas. Did I say it the first time wrong? Oh. Are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. Purport. People in general are not very intelligent, and due to their ignorance, they are most attached to the fruitive activities recommended in the Karmakanda portions of the Vedas. They do not want anything more than sense gratificatory proposals for enjoying life in heaven, where wine and women are available, and material opulence is very common. In the Vedas, many sacrifices are recommended for elevation to the heavenly planets, especially the Jyotistoma sacrifices. In fact, it is stated that anyone desiring elevation to heavenly planets must perform these sacrifices. And men with a poor fund of knowledge think that this is the whole purpose of Vedic wisdom. It is very difficult for such inexperienced persons to be situated in the determined action of Krishna consciousness. As fools are attached to the flowers of poisonous trees without knowing the results of such attractions, unenlightened men are similarly attracted by such heavenly opulence and the sense enjoyment thereof. In the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, it is said, Apama Somam Amrita Abhuma and Akshayam Havai Chaturmasya Yag Jina Sukritam Bhavati. In other words, those who perform the 4-month penances become eligible to drink the Somaras beverages to become immortal and happy forever. Even on this earth, some people are very eager to have Somaras to become strong and fit to enjoy sense gratifications. Such persons have no faith in liberation from material bondage, and they are very much attached to the pompous ceremonies of Vedic sacrifices. They are generally sensual, and they do not want anything other than the heavenly pleasures of life. It is understood that there are gardens called Nandana Kanana, in which there is good opportunity for association with angelic, beautiful women and having a profuse supply of Soma Ras wine. Such bodily happiness is certainly sensual. Therefore, there are those who are purely attached to such material, temporary happiness as lords of the material world. Om Gyana Timranda Shakinanchala Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasma Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Taitanya Manobistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dedati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudhapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parichana Sihitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha. He Krishna Karna Sindhu, Dinabando Jagadpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavanishvari, Rishabhanu Sutta Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. I offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Radharani will make an appearance in the class today. The verse again, men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So I forgot to say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Next time. So a few verses ago, Krishna, so what's happening is Krishna speaking to Arjuna and he's trying to convince him, look, the battle of Kurukshetra is just about to start and you've got to fight. And Arjuna's saying, I don't want to fight. If I have to kill my relatives, if I have to kill my grandfather Bhishma, if I have to kill my teacher Dronacharya, then I don't want to fight. But they're already on the battlefield. And Krishna's giving him all these different arguments. And a few verses ago, in 2:37, Krishna's saying, look Arjuna, even if you get killed, you'll go to the heavenly planets. He's trying to entice him. Either you'll get the kingdom on earth and you'll live like a demigod, or you can go to heaven and live like a demigod. He's like giving these material enticements. And now he's saying, men of small intelligence want to go to the heavenly planets. And just five verses ago, he was using that as an enticement to try and get Arjuna to fight. Then Krishna's saying, therefore, get up with determination and fight. But then Arjuna didn't say yes. Now he's got to find another argument. So Krishna's giving all these different arguments. So now he's gone on to, he's trying now with intelligence, with Buddha Yoga, trying to get him to do it without fruitive results. So Krishna is now saying, the smell of men of small knowledge. He's mentioning the Vedas for the first time here. He's saying, you see, of the Vedas, about three quarters of it is Karmakanda, different types of fruitive activities. About three quarters. Most of it's actually Karmakanda, the Karmakanda sections of the Vedas. So let's just read, what shall we read? First, the purpose of the Vedas is, the real purpose of the Vedas is not sense gratification. The real purpose of the Vedas is described in 15:15. Savashichaham redisanivisto mata smriti jnanam apohanam cha vedaischa saveda hameva vedyo vedantikrit vedavite vachaham. Krishna is saying, I am seated in everyone's heart, and for me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And now about the Vedas, by all the Vedas I am to be known. That's the purpose of the Vedas, to know Krishna. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. The idea of the Vedas is to get to know Krishna, not just sense gratification. If you want sense gratification, you don't have to... Well, it's temporary. Sense gratification. The point is about this, that Krishna is trying to make is it's temporary. If we look in chapter 9, Krishna is going to explain more about that. It was mentioned in the purport, Jyoti Stoma sacrifices. That's in 9:16 in the purport. First of all, Krishna says like this. So 9:16, the verse is, but it is I who am the ritual, I the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and the offering. Purport. The Vedic sacrifice known as Jyoti Stoma is also Krishna. And he is also the Mahayagya. So that the fire sacrifices, Krishna is saying, I am the fire sacrifice, but what do they use it for? They use it for sense gratification. And the result of this is described in 9:20. In 9:20, Krishna says about what happens if you read the Vedas just to get sense gratification. Dravijamam soma papa. Dravijamam soma paputa papa. Yagya istva svagatim. Prataya. Pratayante. Te punyamasa jasurendra lokam. Ashnanti divyan divi deva bogan. Those who study the Vedas and drink the soma juice. Soma juice is it's a kind of wine that they drink on the moon. Soma means moon. It's an alcoholic beverage. And it gives them a longer duration of life. And they think this is if they keep drinking, then they will be immortal. They call it the drink of immortality. Oh, come on, even Brahma's not immortal. all the heavenly planets are not even, you know, eternal. At the end of the universe, they're all gone. And if you really have fun, it will go just like that. Time flies when you're having fun. Men, those who study the Vedas and drink the Soma juice, seeking the heavenly planets, worship me indirectly. Purified of sinful reactions, they take birth on the pious heavenly planet of Indra, where they enjoy godly delights. But what happens next? Tetam bung tvasvaga lokam vishalam, kshine punye macho lokam vishanti, evam traetarmam anuprapana, gata gatam kama kamalabante. When they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure, and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. You can stay in the heavenly planets as long as you've got enough good karma, enough punya. If you do pious activities, rituals, sacrifices, you get punya, good credit, karmic credit. And as long as you've got enough karma, you can stay there. But when your punya is finished, you've got to come back here. Supposing you go to the heavenly planets tomorrow and you stay there for 10,000 years. What do you think it's going to be like here after another 10,000 years of Kali Yuga? Do you really want to come back here after that? 10,000 years will go just like that, and you'll be back here, and it'll be 10,000 years further into Kali Yuga. So, they have to get born again, and every time they get born, they have to die. In the purport to 921, Prabhupada says, one who is promoted to the higher planetary systems enjoys a longer duration of life and better facilities for sense enjoyment, yet one is not allowed to stay there forever. One is again sent back to this earth upon finishing the resultant fruits of his pious activities. So Prabhupada describes us as going up and then coming down like a big wheel at the fairground. You go up very high and then you come back down again. So it's great fun up there, but it doesn't last very long. It might seem like it now, to us down here, might seem like a good idea. So after a couple of verses, Prabhupada's going to say that the actual purpose of the Vedas is... In the second chapter, Prabhupada's going to say that the Vedas deal mainly with the three modes of material nature, and that Arjuna should try to become transcendental to these. In the purport, there were two Sanskrit phrases. In the Karmakanda section of the Veda, it is said, Apama Somam Amrita Abhuma. This means, I looked it up on the Veda base, and he mentions it in one conversation, it means, we have drunk the Soma juice and are now immortal. And the other phrase, Akshayam Havai Chaturmasha Yajina Sukritam Bhavati. That means, for one who executes the Chaturmasha sacrifice during the 4 months of the rainy season, there is inexhaustible pious reaction. Inexhaustible means it never finishes. Well, it might seem like that, but it's definitely going to finish. So I just want you to read something from Krishna book. It's the chapter 53, Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. And what is the story is that Rukmini is just about to get married. The next morning she's going to get married. And tradition in their family is that the evening before the wedding, they go to pay respects at a temple of demigods. And actually, Rukmini doesn't want to get married to the guy that she's supposed to marry. She wants to marry Krishna. But not all her family was in agreement, so they've arranged her marriage to this guy that she doesn't want to marry. So she sent some secret message to Krishna. When I'm at the temple, you've got a chance to kidnap me. And she's waiting and she's looking around, where's Krishna, where's Krishna? So now reading. It appears that Rukmini was a very popular princess, and all the citizens, out of intense love for her, prayed for her best fortune. In the meantime, Rukmini, being very nicely dressed and protected by bodyguards, came out of the palace to visit the temple of Ambika, goddess Durga. Deity worship in the temple has been in existence since the beginning of Vedic culture. There is a class of men described in the Bhagavad Gita as Veda Vada Rata. They believe only in the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, but not in temple worship. That was the one that was in our verse. Such foolish people may here take note. May here take note that although this marriage of Krishna and Rukmini took place more than 5,000 years ago, there were arrangements for temple worship. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Yanti deva vrata devan. Recognize the verse? Chapter 9 text? 26. No, I think so. Is it 25? Oh yeah, 26 is maybe the 18. Yeah, 25. Yanti deva vrata devan. Pitrin yanti pitri vrata. Bhutani yanti bhuteja. Yanti maja chinopimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings, and those who worship me will live with me. I once asked a senior devotee a question, do ghosts and spirits have babies? If you have to take birth among them. But he said it's not exactly like that. I couldn't think how they would do that. Worshippers, so back to the Krishna book, the worshippers of the demigods attain the abodes of the demigods. There were many people who worshipped the demigods, and many who directly worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The system of demigod worship was mainly directed to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Ganesh, the sun god, and goddess Durga. What was the dynasty of the Pandavas? Were they from Suryavamsa? So they worship the sun god? Lunar dynasty. Sun god and goddess Durga. Lord Shiva and goddess Durga were worshipped even by the royal families. Other minor gods were worshipped by silly lower class people. Prabhupada can write these things, but we can't say them. As far as the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are concerned, they simply worship Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, the worship of demigods is condemned but not forbidden. It is clearly stated that less intelligent men worship the demigods for material benefit. On the other hand, even though Rukmini was the goddess of fortune, she went to the temple of goddess Durga because the family deity was worshipped there. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that as Rukmini proceeded to the temple of goddess Durga, within her heart she always thought of the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, when Rukmini went to the temple, it was not with the intention of an ordinary person who goes to beg for material benefits. Her only goal was Krishna. As Rukmini proceeded towards the temple, she was silent and grave. Her mother and her girlfriends were by her side, and the wife of a Brahmana was in the center. Surrounding her were royal bodyguards. This custom of a would-be bride's going to the temple of a demigod is still practiced in India. As the procession continued, various musical sounds were heard. Conch shells, drums such as panavas, and bugles of different sizes such as turias and berries were combined to make a sound which was not only auspicious, but very sweet to hear. Thousands of wives of respectable brahmanas were present, all dressed very nicely with suitable ornaments. So I'll stop reading from Krishna book, but that was just comparing how comparing the worship of the Veda Vadaratas and demigod worship. So the point of this verse is Krishna is explaining that just to worship the, just to follow the Vedas just for sense gratification is not very intelligent. And then in the next few verses he's going to go on to say what Arjuna should be doing. Let's see what Burijan says. He made quite a nice comment. Burijan's book, Surrender Unto Me, An Overview of the Bhagavad Gita, Burijan Das. Here, for the first time, Krishna mentions the Vedas to Arjuna. He tells Arjuna to give up his karmakanda mentality, or the idea of using the Vedas for many sacrifices aimed at pleasing various demigods to gain temporary fruits and benedictions. Temporary things such as sons, health, power, wealth, longevity, a bountiful harvest, or heavenly pleasures. It should be noted that in the previous section, Krishna encouraged Arjuna to fight by appealing to the same mentality in Arjuna that he now condemns. He was a few verses ago saying, yeah, go on, fight Arjuna, you'll get to the heavenly planets. And now he's saying, nah, that's for a less intelligent man. Although previously encouraging Arjuna to obtain heaven, Krishna now speaks on a higher level, the level of Buddha Yoga. And in the next few verses, he's going to continue about the Vedas. So that's all that I prepared. Does anyone have anything to add? Any questions? So the verse was like this. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets. Who wants to go to the heavenly planets? It's quite nice there. You want to go? Resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So, is there anything more than this? Is there anything nicer than going to heaven? If you stick with us tomorrow, Krishna will say tell what's nicer than going to heaven. There is something nicer because heaven is temporary. But there is a place you can go where you can be happy that's not temporary, that's eternal. You can't go to the heavenly planets eternally because they're in the material world. But Krishna's, where Krishna lives, that's in the spiritual world. So if you worship the demigods, you stay in the material world because they are material, they are temporary. But if you worship Krishna, then you can go to the spiritual world, then you don't have to come back. That's described in 15.6. Let me see what Krishna says about his where he lives. See, we even know where Krishna lives. It's in 15.6. Na tat vashaite suryo na shashanko na pavaka yadgatvanani vartante tatarma paramam mama. That supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. Krishna's place is very luminous. You don't need the sun. It's nice and bright, self-illuminating. But if you go there, you don't have to come back. So that's why we want to try and get back there. And Prabhupada said it's possible to go back at the end of this life. And further on in the Gita it says how that's possible. Example 8.5 says, if you chant Hare Krishna and you remember Krishna at the time of death, you can go back to Krishna. Antakalecha mameva smaran mukta kalevaram ya priyati samad bhavam ya tinasyat prasamshaya. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. So if you can chant Hare Krishna at the end of life and remember Krishna, you can go back to Krishna. Any comments? Questions? Karmakanda? Which part? The Karmakanda sections? Doing fruitive activities doing pious activities is to get good results. Yes, Mark? Yes? Yes? Pages. All different sacrifices, all different results you can get. I can't say any more about Karmakanda. Do you have any? Yes, because it's nice, you get nice results, but it's temporary. And then you have to come back here. You go up to the heavenly planets, you have a good time, and you come back here. Back to Kali Yuga. You can see how much is the society's been degraded in the last 50 years. What's it going to be like after another 10,000 years? Might not even have any books anymore. Computers might not have any more. How are you going to get your knowledge? Where are you going to find your association? The golden age will finish by the time you get back. Prabhupada's books are the law books for the next 10,000 years. And after that, what's going to happen then? Sorry? Yes. You want to do some Karmakanda, Madhukopal? Is something you want?
No.
If you want money, you worship Varuna. If you want a nice wife, you worship Uma. It's all described in second canto of Bhagavatam. You have any questions? Who do you worship? Who do you worship at home? You do puja at home?
Yeah.
To who?
To Krishna and we do puja.
Krishna and Ram. Oh, nice. Different. Oh, you say it?
Yeah.
You read it?
He pronounces another name, our accent.
So, you see how you read it? Read it? Oh, how you read it?
It's very difficult. Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. And you say Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. Like that. Our accent is...
How will you read this verse?
Some kind of
verse. How will you read this verse in your...
In my...
You speak Hindi?
No, we are fortunate. We not only speak, not very good.
How do you say it? How do you pronounce it?
This is Sanskrit.
Yeah. Can you read it?
No, I can read Sanskrit.
Oh.
That's very difficult. As for me, for listening, it is very difficult to understand.
You found it? You found it?
Yeah.
The Rig Veda is for Indra, Agni and... Oh, Soma. Indra, Agni and Soma. Let's stop now and let the musicians come in. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Gita ki jai.